might you vary within your detail design?
I can't see it being the half a metre either way. I mean, the bigger concern I potentially have is possible inaccuracies in the level of information, so the number we're calling it. But if there's a whole global error, the points of connectivity for us at Roberts Line and at that northern end where it's getting very steep, so we've got limited range within that. From the analysis perspective, we could cope with down half a metre, up won't matter so much, but that's anti-everything in terms of fill material. So, you know, my preference is to come down, but we also have to consider ability to meet those other requirements.
So you mentioned tie into Roberts Line. Are you talking on the railway or the actual road Roberts Line at that point?
Well, it's a level crossing at the moment. Well, nominally, the rail's higher than, you know, the general lie of the land because it's crossing on formation. But at that point, the rail level drops about 1.5 metres. It's 51.5 nominally. At that point, the rail level, at that point.
So you've got North Island Main Trunk. We're leaving Palmerston.
Yep.
Coming up Railway Road.
Yep.
You have your slightly higher level at the existing level crossing at Roberts Line.
Yep.
And you're then diverting the railway to come into sight. So when you do that, would you be dropping the North Island Main Trunk from the level crossing level, or would you be sort of coming into sight and making sure you've got that tie-in from further south?
The constraint would be the 0.5% grade change. So the NIMT level would change backwards to match that. It's not even going backwards. The NIMT does us a little bit too within the constraints. So we can take off the hump that's around about Roberts Line to bring that down. So we work to a 0.5% grade maximum, plus or minus. I mean, so as long as you get that change right. The hub site itself is nominally level. You can't do it any other way, and grades in and out. So we just try to match those.
So in terms of the road, Roberts Line,
are
you looking at changing the level of that, or would you be building up or down to get into your site?
Down at that point to get into the site, but the Roberts Line itself, the road, doesn't change.
Thank you.
And that was a point problematic about the underpass type of thing going on.
Thank you.
Just a couple of questions. Fraser Colgrave talked about Northgate and the development there. Is that, are you familiar with that facility?
No.
In Hamilton?
No, I'm not familiar. I'm familiar with possibly the yard, and Frankton Yard, but not the Northgate facility. I mean,
is the 1,500 metres a capacity that would exist anywhere else at the moment in the Kiwi Rail network?
I had that conversation, and I actually can't remember what the answer was from the QRL operational people.
Right.
We could follow it up. I think my recollection, if it is that they can't make up 1,500 metre trains directly.
Right.
I think they can possibly do 900, something like that.
So when Mr. Colgrave talks about the exemplar effect, in actual fact, this might be an exemplar of the 1,500 metre construction, train construction, that would need to be replicated throughout the network to make it work.
I think the understanding was, I mean, the 1,500 metre train function was really an activity that was unlikely to go west or south of Palmerston North because of the capacity constraints down there, and it was more likely pertaining to Hamilton, Auckland,
North. Yeah, that's what I. Road. Yeah. So it's got particular vectors that it would service.
Yeah.
You can't see it going to Whanganui or something like that.
No, because I mean, I don't think you've got the requirement for trains is not the volume and length, which is an efficiency thing. Mm. It's around customer service and timing.
Yeah.
So there'd be shorter trains and bits and pieces. But rather than trying to get longer trains, because it might take a week to build up enough traffic from Whanganui, for example, where I live, to generate a train.
But the importance of the hub from Palmerston North's point of view in that context is the capacity increase that will go north and therefore connect with what's called the Golden Triangle in terms of population.
Yep, and to and from that area, because it's a large area of manufacturing and supply and distribution centres back this way. And, of course, there's no connectivity. I mean, if you think about the main trunk line as a trunk of a tree, you've got a branch line going to Tauranga, and from Auckland you've got maybe a branch top of the tree, and down here you've got it going east, west and south.
Yeah. Okay. I had one more question. I think that's answered it. So thank you very much. It's been extremely helpful to go through that, so I appreciate your time.
Sir, on the schedule, is your lunch about now? Did you want to break for lunch now, or should we proceed with
So who's Mr. the next Georgeson? Witness?
Transport, Mr. Georgeson.
I think we'll let Mr. Georgeson start.
Okay.
So that we maximise the amount of traffic engineering evidence before lunch. And then he can at least complete his oral bit as well.
Very good. Thank you.
Oh, that'd be a bit. Yes, that would be extremely helpful. Thank you. It is, isn't it? So welcome, Mr. Georgeson, and feel free when you're explaining your evidence to refer to the map bundle.
Yes.
And also to the conditions. We now have compliments, Mr. Jessen, a hard copy of those conditions, and we would like to be orientated as to which are of particular importance in terms of your evidence, because we have to keep abreast of this information as well, and as we all are, and sometimes we're just catching up with it as we go through, so bear that in mind. Thank you.
Just wait for this makers. What I had intended to do is exactly as you suggest, at the right point, I'll take you through key aspects of the track change conditions that you've got in front of you. But before I do that, there's some particular summaries that I'd like to make in terms of key conclusions and outstanding matters and so on, if I take you through that first. And that will include touching on some of the conditions. Then I'll point to particular matters in the conditions, and then we can step through some questioning after that.
Sounds perfect.
So just by way of summary, I was responsible for the ITA that was submitted with the application. That came forward as Technical Report C. I was then responsible for the Section 92, that was dated February earlier this year, and I drew from both of those documents in preparing my statement of evidence, and that was dated 9th of July, and I also prepared a rebuttal statement, and that was dated 4th of August. And that rebuttal statement had the primary purpose of addressing matters raised by Foodstuffs. The ITA assessed the likely transport effects of the freight hub in relation to network travel times, level crossings, road safety, public transport, and so on. There are a number of network upgrades relevant to the hub, which are planned by the City Council and Waka Kotahi, and they're planned irrespective of the freight hub proposal. And I collectively refer to those in my reports and evidence as do minimum upgrades. And I've assumed that they will be in place before the freight hub is operational. And Kiwi Rail, in addition to that, proposes a series of additional upgrades on the surrounding transport network. One of the fundamental changes to be delivered in the future by Council and Waka Kotahi is a strategic roading network that addresses road safety, it addresses accessibility, and it addresses freight aspirations. The recommended program of works recognises KiwiRail's proposed freight hub, and the investments are to be delivered over short, medium, and long-term timeframes, and not dissimilar to the progressive development of the freight hub. It's been my view throughout my involvement that the roading network for the freight hub needs to come together with improvements to the wider transport network, so that in effect, those improvements would establish a single integrated network. And in my view, there's consensus between the authorities to achieve that.
Just on that point, this chicken and egg situation, it's a curious feature of cost-benefit analyses that the more you get one going, the cost-benefit gets better in the other one. So one makes more likely the other. Is that true? In other words, yeah. There's a sort of snowballing effect.
Yeah, well, I can certainly see the benefits playing out in a very sensible and logical way in terms of the multi-party involvements from Waka Kotahi Council and Kiwi Rail, all delivering to an end result that's got the desired outcome for the whole community as a single solution. But you'll hear more from Waka Kotahi on Tuesday, maybe, I think, next week. But happy to point you to the high level programs and so on that they're intending if that would be helpful. Today?
Well, it would be quite helpful just to, using the maps, illustrate just broadly what this envisages, and so we understand it. People can see it on the plans.
I think the easiest thing to do would actually be point to the maps that are in at the back of the 42A report. I think there was a memo prepared by David Murphy.
Oh, yes, I know the one you mean, appendix to Copplestone
exactly.
And
correct.
Percy. Okay, well, let's go to that, because that is the strategic resource, isn't it? So it's the 42A report, not the recommendation.
Yes, so that's at the back of the 9 August 42A report.
And, sir, there's a memorandum in Appendix A, and then it's Appendix 6 to that sets out the strategic transport network upgrades. There aren't any page numbers, unfortunately.
So it's a memorandum dated 15 June.
Is that within this report?
Yes, so...
Sir, it's in Anita Copplestone and Philip Percy's report, and there's an Appendix 1 at the very back of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
Yep.
All right, so... So we've got the Palmerston North Spatial Plan, our integrated, and then I think you're particularly looking at the short-term and long-term.
Yeah, so the last three plans of that document, short-term, medium-term, long-term.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps they maybe can't get up, but it's all right.
So there's quite a lot of detail on those, and they're very colourful. But the purpose of these plans, as prepared by Waka Kotahi, is to step through a series of indicative roading improvements from closer term scenario. So just looking at that short-term timing, for example, and you can see that all plans give an indication of the possible Kiwi Rail freight hub. Looking at that short-term plan and just to the immediate north of where that green train is showing, you can see a series of four red crosses. They are the shorter-term bridge improvement works. That the council and Waka Kotahi are proposing to bring, to elevate the standard of KB Road and Campbell Road. I guess the next two plans are probably the more interesting ones, and the medium term starts to then bring in upgraded roads, which are shown in blue, so along the length of KB Road and also Ashurst Road, and an upgraded Roberts Line link to KB Road as well. And then stepping forward again into the longer term, this is where the plans realise the ideas of southern and western bypasses of Bunnythorpe, shown by the black lines in that diagram. So there's a stepwise... So that being a package of works stepping from smaller, shorter-term improvements to more significant major longer-term improvements, with the outcome of achieving safety improvements and freight aspirations, and achieving that in such a way of removing some of the freight activity which currently traverses through other streets within the city and providing for those on dedicated corridors. But as I said, you'll hear more from Waka Kotahi next week in terms of where that program is at, timing, expectations, next phases of works, and so on. And I suspect you could ask the council as well about the 10-year plan and the provisions that are included in the 10-year plan for realising and contributing to some of these works.
I think KB's been on the books for a while, but it's it, it seems much more, it's got much more legs than it used to have.
I would agree.
Yeah.
So I think too that these plans are an indication that works are starting to solidify in the minds of authorities, funding being set aside in the likes of the 10-year plan, but the importance now of bringing together the aspirations of all of the relevant authorities.
Yeah. Yeah, I've not seen plans like this. That does indicate strong solidification. It's been much more council-driven. And then now you're talking about Crown agencies picking it up. And presumably the new access across the saddle is part of all of that too. It's bring that to focus, but it's cemented that access route as the principal route to the bay.
And the importance in both the medium and longer term plans of connecting the upgraded Ashurst Road to that point.
Yeah. Interesting. Thank you. Quite a quantum leap from where I remember it, but
couple of other points that I wish to make just around some key conclusions is that the ITA demonstrates the scale of effects and mitigation required. One of the mitigations there relates to the Campbell Road, KB Road, Railway Road node, as I refer to it, or the Bunnythorpe node. I think, Sue, you might have referred to that yesterday as a in your own mind, as a suboptimal part of the network.
Yeah.
And that's certainly what I have identified as well and a key location for mitigation. And the idea of an upgrade option there is to provide for that as a single signalised junction as one improvement option. The improvement there depends on the timing and introduction of these other strategic improvements that we've just viewed in my mind. Because, for example, and again, I guess this is a good illustration of authorities coming together to develop a single network solution in a timely way, is that if the bypasses of Bunnythorpe occurred in a manner that didn't require improvements effectively bypassed that key Bunnythorpe node, then there's no need for improvements to be made there as well as the bypass solutions.
And the bypass solution if the designation is approved and implemented, affect the design of that bypass.
Yes. Travel times have been a key matter for assessment as well. One of the changes which have come forward since I prepared the ITA is Council's initiative in closing the Roberts Line and Cleveley Line level crossings, so that I guess that base position can be viewed differently now compared to the assessment that was made in the ITA, to the effect that it would be in my view, part of the existing landscape, the existing environment. And resulting different traffic patterns and travel patterns, irrespective of the freight hub proposal. There's some just turning to some key matters around agreement. My response in the first to the first section 92 request addressed a number of transport matters raised by council. Key matters included integration of the freight hub infrastructure with the planned roading infrastructure, connections between the freight hub and the northeast zone, mitigations for the Bunnythorpe node, and appropriateness of the use of the Palmerston North traffic model. Regarding the freight hub integration with the future network, assessment carried out could not reasonably include some of Waka Kotahi's planned strategic upgrades. It is quite evident, you know, from these medium and longer term plans, they do lack the detail at this stage in detail in terms of specifics, but it also the lack of detail around timing. Section 42A report recognised the appropriateness of this response and confirms that it is not possible at this stage to assess the cumulative effects of this project with the regional ring road, as that project is not sufficiently advanced in project planning and its effects. Ms Fraser, in her advice to council, raised an issue regarding the fit-for-purpose nature of the traffic model for the application in relation to the project. I note that the use of the model as the assessment tool was first confirmed by council back in May 2020. And that confirmation saying that the traffic model is appropriate but should be updated to reflect the change in land use both from the development and from the existing railway land. And those changes were incorporated. And there was quite a lot of discussion around the use and appropriateness of the model, and in response to that I drafted a technical technical memo, and that was dated the 30th of April this year, and I've appended that to my primary statement. And that memo drew comparisons between current traffic volumes and those forecast by the model. And based on the assessment, Ms Fraser indicates in her technical evidence that the model can be regarded as fit for the intended purpose. And she says that the tables in the memo show a good match between the modelled and observed traffic flows, and except on the links with the lowest observed flows. And she agrees that the absolute differences are low and that the shortfall is likely to have negligible impact on the assessment findings. Just touch briefly on the evidence of Ms Downs from Waka Kotahi as well. She makes the point that KiwiRail and Waka Kotahi have continued to work together to refine the proposed conditions. As a result, Waka Kotahi agrees with and endorses the amendments to the conditions attached to Ms Bell's evidence, in particular the amendments to the Road Network Integration Plan, Construction Traffic Management Plan and Operational Traffic Management Plan. And Waka Kotahi considers that the amended conditions appropriately address the matters raised in their submission. And there's a bit of detail and refinement around those that I will get to shortly.
Is this a convenient time?
Break. Yep.
All right. Well, we'll have a break for an hour and return at 2 o'clock. Thank you very much.
Thank you.